Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Prepare Your Resume, Part 3 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, what should be on my resume? What format should I use for my resume? And how long should my resume be?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Feeling challenged by your team's performance? The Virtual Effective Manager Conference on September 15th offers real-world tools to manage, motivate, and develop your people. Learn from experts and leave ready to apply what you learn immediately. Sign up now at manager-tools.com/training. All right, that takes us to education. And folks, put your education at the bottom. Now you've got, again, I'm envisioning this. You've got all your admin stuff centered at the top.
Contact stuff at the top.
Sorry, contact stuff. Thank you. Yeah. Contact stuff up at the top. Then you have all of your bullets of your jobs. And now your education goes at the bottom. It would be the degree using standard degree abbreviations like BA, BS, MBA, etc., followed by your concentration or major, followed by your school, followed by the location of your school, then the date you graduated. Simple as that.
And people ask me about this, the location of your school. Folks, it matters, okay? If you went to University of Texas in San Antonio, you can't just put University of Texas, because University of Texas in the United States is the flagship school for the University of Texas system, and it's harder to get into than any of the satellite schools, one of which is University of Texas, San Antonio. So you have to be specific about the location. If you've got a master's degree, it goes on top of your BS. Your most current education goes on top. Mine, for instance, I didn't get an MBA. Mine says BS, comma, mechanical engineering, comma, United States Military Academy, comma, West Point, comma, New York, period, May, comma, 1982. I know that makes me old. It also makes me wise. So I got that going for me. Which is nice.
With age wisdom or something like that.
Yes.
Exactly. And folks, I say this because I recently had someone ask me this. It doesn't matter what you're doing or for what you're applying, your education always goes in this location on your resume. And for some jobs, you may think, but this is an outlier because education is super important in this instance for whatever reason. But remember, it's all about the person reading resumes, and we want it to follow a predictable format. The predictable format is, regardless of importance, this is where education goes. This is where your education goes.
Yeah.
And I should say, if you graduated magna or summa cum laude, you can include that as well. If you have only had two jobs and you want to include a couple of key extracurricular activities.
If you've only had two jobs and so you have extra space.
Exactly. And so you want to include some key extracurricular activities, like you were the captain of the varsity volleyball team or something that shows leadership, for example. You can go ahead and put that there again, given you have space. And for fairly young people, 2 or 3 years out, if you want to include the fact that you had a job and it was president of your fraternity or a unique job that you had in college, and you want to include that on your resume because it somehow applies to this position. Again, if you have space, and you probably do, if you're fairly junior, you can absolutely include that stuff here.
Now, we're focusing on college degrees. If you don't have a college degree, don't put any education on there. You may choose to put on there an education. You may choose to put a technical certification. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Gosh, yeah. I mean, if you went to technical school and you got an associate's, but you got an electrical mechanical repair, and that relates to your job, absolutely put that on there. But high school, generally, you don't leave it on. So if high school was the last time you went to school, you have more room for accomplishments. I had a guy say once, I feel bad there's no education on mine. Dude, that was 20 years ago. I don't really care. The day you graduate from college is not only the last day you'll ever be cool again, but it will also be the last time that your college really, really matters. Once you get hired, we don't care about any of that stuff. So the person who didn't go to college, that's okay. And the next 20 years, that's going to become more and more a thing, okay, as we go forward. partially because there's so many self-taught technical geniuses out there that we love and they're entirely effective and don't need to have gone to college. So if you don't have high school, if you have nothing more than high school, leave off your high school, and that gives you a couple of extra lines for accomplishment bullets, and that's good.
And folks, if you work through college, include that. Now, we don't want to see like 12 fast food jobs in a row on your resume, but if you had a job that was anything other than menial, or if you had a menial job, but you kept it for all 4 years of your college degree, and doing that, working, that is, helped you pay for college, we'd want that to be a bullet in the job that you had that you might think of. It's a fast food job, but it's the fast food job that puts you through school.
Yeah.
So include it and use that as a bullet.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I would rather have a young person who got a 2.9 GPA in college, who grew up in the Midwest of the United States, worked on a farm, on his family farm as a kid. He or she worked on the farm, got up at 4 a.m, had to work their chores before they got breakfast, went to school, maybe played a sport, then came home, worked some more, did homework, went to bed tired every night, paid their way entirely through college so they didn't have any debt because their family couldn't afford it. I would rather have that kid with a 2.9 GPA than a 4.0 kid who went to the school his father or mother went to because they donate a lot of money, and he got a 4.0, but he wasn't involved in anything else. Mm-hmm. I want the hardworking person.
Yeah.
Right? And that kind of working full-time through college, we love that. And if it hurts your GPA, you know, when somebody asks what was your GPA, you tell them. And then, by the way, you always tell them immediately. You don't say something like, well, it's complicated.
Start with
it's not complicated. It's just a number. Tell us the number. And then say, and by the way, I worked my way through college. I paid 95% of my college by my jobs working in college. That's the person who excites me.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about sections not to include? There are some things, some places on the web, because of course, you know, it's on the internet, so therefore it's true, right? By the way, if you're going to a website that somebody runs and they are giving out resume guidance and or career guidance, and they are less than 40 years old, and this is how they make their money, and it's not the coolest website you've ever seen. I mean, cool, I mean, lots of traffic and that kind of thing. That should tell you how valuable their guidance is, okay? So a lot of these places say, oh, you need to do this or that to defeat the automatic scanning systems and so on. But we disagree.
Exactly. So let's start with no references. Folks, if we need your references, we can get your references. We know how to ask you. Now, you should have them handy. You should have people's names and phone numbers ready to give out if we ask for them, and addresses, so that if they want to send a questionnaire or if they want to call somebody, that they can do that. There's the access, but you don't need to put it on your resume. It takes up space that you could be using for responsibilities and accomplishments. It's a waste of space. We can get that if we want it.
Let me tell you something else, folks. You know why references exist on resumes? This is where a history of professional world and the business world and the business history is helpful. References existed to make sure that white men hired other white men's kids who went to the same school, had the same religion, and were involved in the same clubs. That's what it was there for. Essentially, references started out as a form of discrimination. If you put references on your resume now, you're essentially sending a message that I want to be seen differently because of the people I know. And that's not what to have on your resume. Also, no personal hobbies or interests, okay? That used to be on there 30 years ago. Actually, it was on young people's resumes when they didn't have anything else to fill it up. We don't care, okay? We'll ask you in the interview. Of course, your hobbies and interests shouldn't be weird like Satanism or something like that, but we don't care about it in your resume. I never look at it. It's not something of interest. Full stop.
What I would say is, folks, we're not including in this section volunteer opportunities. Volunteer opportunities are above the fold. Like, they are not personal hobbies and interests, although they may be for you. Volunteer opportunities would be classified in this context
as a work experience,
as a job that you weren't being paid for.
But if your volunteering is 1 hour a month, that's not enough to reach the threshold.
What's the threshold?
Well, probably 5 to 10 hours a week.
Oh, 5 to 10 hours a week.
Yeah, because 1 hour a month, how much are we learning? How much are we developing?
Yeah, that's
how
true.
Much are we growing?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. No list of technical skills.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Don't put these skills in one place. Include the skills in responsibilities or accomplishments that are appropriate with the job. I mean, if using a specific kind of software is necessary for a role, embed it in a responsibility or embed it in your accomplishment bullet. But don't have like a list at the bottom of all these technical skills that you possess.
And those people who say it has to be that way to help the resume scanning systems, they're wrong. The resume scanning systems will pick them up in other places, and putting them all in one place takes up too much space. If you break them up and put key ones in the right places, you'll still have room to get all your responsibilities and bullets in there. But if you have 3 or 4 lines of technical skills at the top, that's 3 or 4 lines less of responsibilities and accomplishments. Also, no objective statements. You don't need to waste that line or even more that would be necessary to be with a carriage return to separate it from everything else. A recruiter might consider you for another job based on what your resume is. So don't put down if your objective that this one particular job, okay? They know you're applying for a particular job, or if their system allows it, multiple jobs. They will compare you to all of those jobs. They're also smart enough to know this person's really good. They're a high performer. I'd like to consider them for something completely different. They might interview for the initial job, and if they love you for that, they might say, we'd like you to consider something else too. But an objective statement, you don't know enough about the company to have an objective statement. And by the way, now objective statements seem to have morphed into this thing where you say, I'm looking for a fast-paced, highly energetic culture of care and concern for other people where I can serve humanity in a way that furthers the global mission, right? That's not an objective. That's a bunch of gobbledygook. Okay. So yeah, don't do that.
And folks, no personal summary. Now we can start with the fact that you don't have the room.
The resume is your personal summary.
That's the thing.
The whole thing.
Exactly. If you've had any experience at all that we're excited about, we want to know about that job and how well you did it. Let your job history speak for itself. And let's face it, when it comes to personal summary paragraphs, we all write the exact same buzzwords in a sentence: collaborative, individual,
yes.
Excited and willing to
none
go
of those
the extra
words matter.
Mile. To,
they
yeah.
mean nothing. They mean less than nothing.
No one's going to say, I'm kind of a jerk. I don't really like people. I'm a bit of a stick in the mud, an eternal pessimist. No one's personal summary says that, guys. So everyone knows that people looking at your resume know it's not a real thing. It's not helpful information. Don't waste the space.
It's puffery, which is technically legal, according to the courts, but everybody knows it's puffery.
Yeah, exactly. New to the professional world, the First Job Fundamentals series is available for all licensees. This series is built for early career professionals who want to make a strong start. Learn how to navigate your new role with confidence, communicate like a pro, and build a reputation that sets you up for long-term success. Available exclusively to licensees. Visit us at manager-tools.com/licenses.
Okay, last item, resume maintenance. So we've said this several times. Just want to be clear. We wanted to hit this point home. This is what, if you do this, your resume will write itself when you need it in a minute. Make time on your schedule once a quarter, 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour at the most, at the end of a workday, and take that time to review your resume. In other words, your responsibilities and your accomplishments in your current job every single quarter.
Folks, how many times have you tried to create your resume? And people ask me these things all the time and said, oh my gosh, that job that I had 7 years ago, geez, I don't remember anything about it. So now how am I supposed to come up with an accomplishment bullet?
Yeah.
Don't be that guy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Help future you out.
Yeah.
Because today you is taking some time to write those accomplishments down while they're still in your head, and you're not having to play catch up 8 years from now when you totally have no memory of what you did. If you did something really successful, add that bullet to your current job. After each quarter, you can pick and choose from your growing list of accomplishments. You can swap them out as needed for certain jobs. Certain accomplishments might appeal differently for different jobs. And when your job changes, add that new job.
Yeah. And write a responsibilities paragraph. And then after in the next quarter, your understanding, your responsibilities will have changed. And so you'll update the responsibilities and you'll probably have an accomplishment or two. Mm-hmm. It's basically, folks, it's a constant process of looking at what you have, looking at what you've done, seeing which is best, taking some off, adding some things, with one important caveat. In the time that you're maintaining it on a quarterly basis and drawing notes in the margin when you do something really well or one of your people gets promoted ahead of schedule, whatever is unique or different at your firm, as you're doing that, your resume might end up being longer than a page. It might be a page and a quarter, but that's okay because it's in draft form. You'd rather have some well-written bullets that then you can delete to get to one page, but all the remaining bullets will have already been written and checked every single quarter, so you make sure you've got it right and you don't have any errors in them.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So you might end up with a resume that's a page and a half long because it's been 18 months since you had to actually use your resume, and now you got to go back and you got to tighten it up. But now you're being interviewed for a different job. So by having some additional bullets on your most current job or your last couple of jobs, you can look at all the bullets rather than the just two or three or five bullets of each. And then you can ask which of these bullets is most relevant to the job I'm interviewing for now. And this is how we tailor our resume for the job. For each of our jobs, we have responsibilities and we have more accomplishments than we know can fit in a single submitted resume. And we pick and choose.
Yeah. In fact, you're going to create a one-page resume to send to people for the job you're interviewing for. But you're what we call career management document might actually be two pages long, because if you're interviewing 2 years later and the job is distinctly different, you might want to go back through all 15 of the accomplishments for your second or third job down and see if some of those would be changed slightly different. I'd take some off and add some back. What you need is raw material that has already been vetted, so then you can make the tailoring the last step in your resume preparation process. And you should be able to send it out at the end of a workday, frankly. I'll send it to you before I get home tonight. Good. All right, so let me summarize. Your resume should be one page, 10-point type, contact information at the top, centered, a reverse chronological job history, where each job has admin, responsibilities, and accomplishments listed as bullets. Education on the bottom, and review it religiously every quarter, full stop.
And folks, remember, there are tons of other podcasts on resumes, resume creation on our website.
50
Yeah, exactly. manager-tools.com. Check us out there. If you want to be a licensee, to Mark's earlier point, you can sign up. Get our resume workbook. We also have the interviewing series is available.
Yep. Our most popular product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. With the Career Tools license and Manager Tools and Executive Tools, all the licenses. So there's tons of other useful information if you're currently in this process on our website. But again, I can't say this strongly enough or often enough. Tomorrow you will thank today you if you start today. Don't put it off. Don't, you know what? I'll do this in a few months. You're missing out on those really important, really valuable accomplishments that you're going to forget and you're never going to capture. And then when you really, really wish you had them, you're not going to have them. So start today.
It's the ant and the grasshopper story over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The ant goes out and works and works and works and works. And he's sewed up food for the winter, and the grasshopper lays around, and winter comes and he has to go beg the ant for food because he didn't do the work.
You got to do the work.
And it's especially galling when you really have an exciting job.
Yeah, that's the
and
thing.
And you're scrambling on the resume. Very bad, Juju. Very bad.
Exactly. Alrighty. That's that. Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much, folks. I hope this helped you. Now, help us help others, tell your friends, and of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.
Bye, everyone.